Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, taking stock of our current situation, I think we can all agree on one thing. This virus has become a big deal. What used to be something across the sea and in a far-off land has now come to our country, and things are changing rapidly. What used to just be an internet meme or jokes that we'd find online are now the topic of governors' press conferences. You might think it's not that big of a deal, or maybe you're scared, or perhaps you're worried for your friends and family, but no matter what fears or concerns you're working through right now, I'm glad you're joining us for worship. I'm glad you're joining us right now, because no matter what's happening in our city, in our state, in the country, or in our world, God's work is being done. So long as the people of God worship and sing praises to God, His work is still being done. This is the day which the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, for the first time in many of our lives, Lent has broken into our lives in an all-encompassing way. We're no longer placing a small limit on ourselves by saying we're not going to eat chocolate or we're only going to drink water. Now, instead, people have had to give up immensely more than they ever bargained for. And for many of us, it's a new sensation. We are utterly powerless to make certain decisions that we took for granted just a couple of months ago. A simple trip to church is no longer simple. In fact, it's not really possible anymore. This might cause us to look out of our windows and proclaim either internally or externally, what's going on? You see, we're not alone in this question. People all over the world, they're wondering. Wondering what will happen next, what will be shut down, when will this all be over, when can we go back to things being normal? You and I, we're so uncertain when it comes to lifestyle choices that were common not too long ago. And maybe, perhaps, we can take stock and pause and consider just how blessed we were a month ago. As you and I, we look around and we see the government's response and we see our neighbor's response. Schools are closed. Shelves are cleared out. There's no more toilet paper. Isolated. Alone. You and I might rightly feel that we're on our own. Everybody's out for themselves. What's going on? This is the same question that the disciples ask in our text today. Talking to Jesus, they see a blind man on the side of the road and they ask, what's going on? Was it this man who sinned or his parents that he was born blind? Now, the disciples have seen blind people before in their lives. This isn't some new concept. They want to know why. Why was this man born blind? There had to be some reason, something possible to explain why a person would be born blind. And they know that Jesus is the ultimate teacher, so they choose to ask him. It's a feeling you and I can empathize with well. Because you and I also want to know why. See, perhaps you and I think that once we know the why of it all, we can have some better control. Like the disciples, maybe we think that if we know who sinned or that we can keep away from that kind of sin, we can stop such a punishment as being born blind or a virus. However, when the chips are on the table and all is laid bare, you and I come face to face with the truth. You and I are not in control. And that's terrifying. It's terrifying to not be in control. How else can you be sure that you're going to be taken care of? How else can you be sure that somebody's looking out for your family? You and I, we begin to panic that nobody is looking out for us. So people go out and they seize control. They buy up all the goods they possibly can, giving little care to the needs of others. But when all is going wrong and you're scared, what are you going to do? Who are you going to talk to? Why, God? If that's what you've wondered these past couple of weeks, hear Jesus' response to the disciples. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, you and I are not in control, and that's a good thing. It's fantastic because God is in control. I mean, you and I will never fully understand why these things happen. But you and I know the one who is in control over all. You and I know the one who created the stars and put them in the heavens and who knows them by name. This same Jesus who stoops down to the blind man and he heals his blindness, well, he comes to us in our suffering. He comes to you and I in the midst of our fear and uncertainty, and he heals us. He forgives us our sins and he opens our eyes. This love of Christ, it shines into our darkness, helps you and me to see our neighbor. Having this love, you and I can have the hope that even if we get sick or even if we die, we belong to Jesus. The glory of God is displayed in his workmanship, the church. Yes, we are in the midst of a darker Lent than many of us have ever experienced. But it's not the final darkness. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is still light. Verse 4 says, we must work the works of he who sent me while it is still day. So you and I are not hopeless, isolated, alone, solitary, or fearful. You and I are children of the Heavenly Father, bought and redeemed by Jesus Christ, called, gathered, and enlightened by the Holy Spirit. You and I might not be able to meet together in this building, but we are the church. So you and I have a lot of work to do. There are a lot of hopeless people out there, people who need to be uplifted, healthcare workers who need prayer, government officials who need the guidance of God. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The church is the one place where the gospel is. And currently, this world desperately needs it. You and I need it. Forgiveness of sins, salvation, and life everlasting. These are still God's precious gifts for you. These are still the gifts that we are meant to share out with the world. Let us love one another. Let us pray for and call one another. Let's provide for the people who are in need, looking to the needs of our neighbors. Simply put, let's show hospitality. It's still light. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen. Amen.